So go ahead and open God's word today to Mark 8. That's where we're going to be, Mark 8. We pick a book of the Bible and we walk through it. Mark 8, we're going to start there, but short section today. We're going to cover just a few verses, but it is the most serious question in all of the life of Jesus. The most serious question in all four of the Gospels. And the most serious question is, who is Jesus to you? To you. That's the most serious question that you'll ever answer in your life. Mark chapter 8, we're going to start in 27. Peter, declaration about Jesus. Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you are one of the other prophets." And then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Okay, this is amazing. Jesus asked his disciples a question. And you guys know that God never asks a question for information. You guys know that? He's always teaching them. He's making a point. And so Jesus says, "What's the word on the street about me? Who am I? What are they saying?" And they answer, some say John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist? He's dead. Why are they saying he's John the Baptist? Mark 6, he's dead. Some say Elijah. You remember him? He's long dead. He's like 850 years dead. And then the others say, well, maybe he's one of the prophets. Luke adds, one of the prophets who was raised from the dead. So that's the word on the street, is that Jesus is just someone raised from the dead. Here's a side note. There's only two people in the whole Bible that never died. Anybody know who they are? Enoch, Genesis 5, it gives us one line. It says, Enoch walked with God and God took him. And I'm like, wait, tell me just a few more lines. Nope. We got to save that for infectious diseases in Leviticus. The other one was Elijah. He was there and God took him to heaven on chariots of fire. There's only two people in the Bible that didn't die. They just went to be with God. And so the people on the streets, they know that Jesus isn't normal. They know that you can't do these types of things unless you're someone. And they are filling in the blanks. And here's the thing. They're all wrong. They filled in the blanks wrong. Some say this, some say that. You're John the Baptist, you're Elijah. You're all wrong. That's why he asked them, who are people saying that I am? Wrong, wrong, wrong. Here's the thing. Don't trust rumors. Don't trust rumors. There is a rumor that Northridge doesn't believe in the resurrection. That's the word on the street. That was told to me, that somebody said Northridge doesn't believe the resurrection. I'm like, what? The resurrection is my most treasured belief. How does a rumor even get started like that? I have said things like, I believe in the resurrection so much that if you could prove to me that Jesus did not rise from the dead, I would not even be a Christian. Maybe that's how the rumor got started. The most important question of your eternity is, who is Jesus to you? Not who somebody else says he is, not what somebody else believes. Who is Jesus to you? And don't be so quick to move past this. because you know the right answer. Oh, he's God. Having a favorable, positive view of Jesus, that's cute, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Saying that he's Elijah, not enough. Saying he's John the Baptist, not enough. And if you have a view of Jesus that he's just a really nice guy, that's not honoring to Jesus. If you have a view of Jesus that he was just a good teacher, because he taught good, that's not enough. Not honoring to him. If you have a view of Jesus that he was an example, a good example, that's not enough. Or if you have a view of Jesus that he is one of many ways to God, that's not honoring to him. All those answers of who people say that Jesus is will only lead them to hell. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the Messiah. That word might not mean anything to you. He's the Savior. That might not mean anything to you. He's the Son of the living God, and he is the Lord over all of heaven and all of earth. All authority has been given to him. And if he is not that to you personally, you don't have the real view of Jesus. You don't have the right view. You have a wrong, rumored opinion of him. Can I be super frank at the risk of offending? If you are trusting that you are a particular denomination or a label, or you're trusting in a priest, or that you were married or buried or baptized and blessed in a certain church, your hope is not in Christ. It's in a label. If I talk to you about your faith, and all you can give me in response is that you are a certain label, my heart breaks for you. Because I know what's going to happen. Don't put any hope in this or that denomination or label, or I did this thing or I did that thing. If it's not in Christ as your personal Messiah, you don't make it. Here's the thing. Matthew adds, once Peter says this, that you are the Messiah, Matthew adds, my Father in heaven showed this to you. No human taught you this. Your eyes were opened because God did it. Here's the shocking thing. These disciples had been with Jesus for 2.5 years at this point. 2.5 years, and this is the first time out of their mouths that they profess Jesus is the Christ. Isn't that crazy? Never before in the Gospel of Mark, God does it in chapter 1. A voice speaks from heaven, says, this is my Son. He is him. Listen to him. And they don't get it. And the demon speaks out in chapter 1 that says, I know who you are. I'm trying to do my demon voice. He says, you are the Holy One of God. A demon says that. But no human ever says it in the entire Gospel of Mark until right now, 2.5 years later, Peter has his eyes opened by God the Father, and he says, you are the Messiah. Messiah means Savior in Hebrew. Okay? That's why they call him the Messiah. It's Hebrew. Christ means Savior in Greek. That's why you have two different words that mean the same thing. Messiah, Savior, Greek. Now, I just ruined some of your days because Christ is not Jesus' last name. I know. Wrecking your day. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's his title. It's the office he holds. He is that man. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Savior. And sadly, to millions of people, Jesus Christ is just a swear word. You know that you are a true Christian when you hear Jesus' name used as a swear word and it bothers you. If you can just flippantly use his name when you swing a hammer and hit your thumb, you don't know him. He is the Savior. He died in your place. His blood was shed for you, and you're going to use him when you have a bad day or when your sports team loses. Okay, that's enough picking on sports. Sports are good. Okay. Well, the disciples finally see who Jesus is. They have a right view of him. You are the Messiah, the only one that was promised. Not a single person makes it to heaven apart from faith in Christ. Not Noah, not Abraham, not David, nobody. They all had their faith in the one Messiah who was to come. And now we are so spoiled that we get to look back and say, wow, look at what you did to save us. I'm thinking about putting a cross here because the second rumor is Northridge doesn't believe in the cross. I've heard that. But the reason I don't have one is because it's not cute. If I put a cross up here, the real thing, it would smell. There would be flesh on it. There would be blood and nails and guts. And we'll get there later. But Isaiah says that Jesus was marred so much it was beyond the resemblance of a human. His back would have looked like hamburger meat. See? I told you you don't want me to put it up there. It's gruesome. The innocent dying for the guilty. So the disciples were okay with who Jesus was. Now here's where they have a rub. They're not okay with his plan. And that's where a lot of us are. Yes, God, you are the King of heaven and earth. You run the universe. I know who you are, but I don't know why you're doing it this way. So here's Mark chapter 8, 31 through 33. So they just professed him as the Savior. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man, that's himself, must suffer terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. Isn't it funny that the religious ones put him to death? He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. He tells them this plainly. 32, as he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Not a good idea. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples and then reprimanded Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's." When it says he began to tell them that he's going to suffer, he tells them in chapter 8. He says the same thing in chapter 9. He tells them again in chapter 10, "I will suffer, die at the hands of the religious, but 3 days later I will rise again." They missed it. Peter goes from the highest of highs. "Oh, Peter, you are right. I am the Messiah. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you," to, "Get away from me, Satan." Peter tried to correct Jesus. That's a very bad idea. And here's what I take away from it. When you try to play the role of God, "Oh, Jesus, you're not going to die this way," you end up playing the role of Satan. When you try to play the role of God, you end up playing the role of Satan. They were okay with Jesus being the Messiah, but they are not okay with his plan. That basically describes us. I know you are the King of the universe, but I don't approve that you run the world this way. Don't you think that infinite wisdom already thought of every possible way to run a universe? Don't you think so? And this is where infinite wisdom, take this personal, infinite wisdom asks in the Garden of Gethsemane before he's about to be crucified, Is there any other way in all possible universes to save a sinner other than the way that it has to be done? And the answer was no. Make this personal to you. If we could have just like tried really hard and prayed extra and God would have let us in, then Christ died for no reason. If we could have just done enough good to outweigh our bad, then Christ died for no reason. If there was any other possible way to cancel the debt of a sinner and adopt him into heaven than Christ suffering on the cross, he would have done it that way. That was his prayer, pleading to his Father. But that wasn't the plan. The plan involved the innocent dying on behalf of the guilty. To rescue sinners and have perfect justice and perfect forgiveness meet, you have to have the cross. Infinite wisdom says this is the only way. Isaiah 53. We'll end with this. Isaiah 53. I left out 52. Because it's so bad. 52 says, we were amazed when we saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. That was the end of 52. Now 53, starting in verse 3. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have all left God's path to follow our own. We are all guilty of that. Yet, look at what he did. The Lord laid on him the sins of us all. In a moment, we're about to celebrate communion. And if your faith is in Christ, we invite you to join in. Let's pray. Would you help us to understand more fully what you did on the cross for us? Would you open our eyes like you did Peter's so that we could see you more clearly? Would you even give us more faith to be okay with your plan, even though it involves things we don't understand? And how are we to ever respond to what you did 2,000 years ago? We have no answer other than to worship you in response. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.